rest in our sovereign God. We know that God causes all things. Look at all things. That's included in it. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So we rest in our sovereign God. We rest in His plan.
Sometimes we think of God's will as a plan we need to figure out. It's like holding a Rubik's Cube and trying to spin the pieces into place. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that God's will defies human logic, and it's much more productive to surrender to God's plan than to fight it. What you're about to hear is the conclusion to an 11-part series, and after the message, we'll explain how you can access helpful study materials. Chuck titled today's message, A Better Way to Look at God's Will.
Remember Jesus' words, anyone who will come after me must deny himself. Don't go too fast past those two words. Deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Follow me. Look at Job. That's a great one to go to. Job 23. Job. Now there is a study. Job. You know what his resume reads? I checked it again this morning. Blameless, upright, fearing God, one who turns away from evil. Job 1:1. You say, well, he probably wrote that, and maybe he wasn't all those things. God said in verse 3 of chapter 2, blameless, upright, fearing God, one who turned away from evil. So that's God's opinion of Job. You can't get more godly than that. Verse 8 of chapter 1 says, no one was like him on the earth. Chapter 1, verse 3, he was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now there is a classic godly man. You remember what happened, don't you? He had livestock, he had a ranch or a farm, he had servants, he had 10 children, he had plenty of money, and in a matter of hours, he lost ranch, home, livestock, a means of making a living, all 10 children, count them, and finally his health. Covered from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet with boils. And then these counselors came along to tell him that he was really suffering the consequences of a proud life. And then there's a whole dialogue back and forth. In the middle of all of this dialogue, chapter 23, Job, I think, gets as close to the heart of the issue that we can understand as he does in any part of his book. Verse 3, he is not in denial. He doesn't act like he is not in pain when he is in pain. And so he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Lord, I'm covered with all these sores. I've lost all of my children. I've lost everything. I walked with you. I served you. I have faithfully presented your cause. I have prayed for my children now that they're adults. I have done all that I know to do that right. Look at me. Look at me. And look at what was once my home and my farm. It's all gone. Lord, help me. I would come before him, he says. I would fill my mouth with arguments. Then verse 5, I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. He wouldn't throw me out of the court. He would pay attention to me. He'd be like a compassionate judge sitting on the edge of his seat listening to my case. He'd be moved with compassion over my situation. But I can't find him. Verse 8, I go forward and he's not there. I go backward and I cannot perceive him. Verse 9, when he acts on the left, I can't behold him. And he turns to the right, I cannot see him. Lord, I am at a loss. Ever feel like that? You feel like that at times. Cynthia and I went through a struggle some time back over a situation we were working through. And I said to her on more than one occasion, I feel like the heavens are brass. I can't get through. A little later, she'd say to me, I feel the same way. I just feel like we're just giving words out in the room. You ever do that? Yes, you've done that. Admit that. Job was there. And he said, I can't find him. I look for him and he's not around. If only he could just appear and I could reason my way through this, it would help so much. And it sounds like Job is getting thin in his faith. Look at verse 10. But it's one of my favorite sections. He knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Ah, great, great insight. The will of God is a test. When he has tried me, it is not centered so much in the little picky details of every part of every day that we worry over. It is about the big picture of becoming like Christ and the test we pass through to check our obedience en route. He knows the way I take. When he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. I haven't doubted his word. Look at how he puts it. My foot has held fast to his path. I've kept his way and not turned aside. I've not departed from the command of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than breakfast, lunch, and supper put together. What God has said, I live in the riches of. I imbibe. I embrace. But I don't understand. I don't understand why he's doing this. There's a mystery here. And you know what, men and women? That's okay. In fact, it's as he's planned it. I think we're wasting too much time trying to come up with exacting answers to explain the acts of a profound creator. And I think we ought to stop doing that. I think that's how Job endured all that he went through. He says he's unique. Who could turn him? What his soul desires, he does. He performs what is appointed for me. And there are a lot of such decrees with him. He's up to something. And my physical condition is there notwithstanding. It's all part of the gold making. Does it make the journey easy? It does not. Does it make it simple? It does not. It makes it bearable. Because God makes no mistakes. But it doesn't make good sense to people like us because we are riveted to earth. We don't like dangling things. We don't even like dangling participles. We don't like dangling stories. You like a movie to end right, don't you? Don't you hate it when the credits start? You go, wait a minute. I want to know who won. I want to know how that thing came out. And it ends. I often think it ends because the guy who wrote it didn't know how to end it. And so he just kind of does that at the end, making you think he's really bright. But a lot of life, just the credits roll before you get the thing figured out. You lost the child you prayed for and trusted God to sustain. You lost the romance that you thought was sure to lead to marriage. It ended. He or she walked away from you. You lost a marriage that you thought he had put together. I could go on with this. I mean, the hospitals are full of stories that are wrapped in mystery inside an enigma. We don't know, and it's okay. See, it's the okay part that requires thinking theologically. I think that's where peace comes from. I think you can just leave it with God. I really do. That's what Job does. Okay, we're going to wrap it up in Romans 8. When you're ever not real sure how to finish it up, Romans 8. That works every time. It's wonderful. I don't know what I'd have done in half my life if I hadn't had Romans 8. You just don't know what else to say. Okay, when I think theologically, let's try to put this into 1, 2, 3 kind of simple terms so we'll all understand. We Americans like that. We like, you got to have something to go home with. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's do it. Number one, we first wait and persevere. I mean, when we can't figure it out, we wait and we persevere. You don't run. You don't fight. You wait and you persevere. You get the x-ray from the doctor. You wait. You persevere through it. You may get sick to your stomach. You may throw up in the bathroom. You may feel your head spin. You may be knocked back when the word cancer comes in the report or whatever it may be. It's there. You've got to deal with it. Wait. Persevere. Wait. Look at verse 25. If we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. That takes faith. That takes faith. Lord God, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know why this happened. Why now? Why me? Why this? I wait for you. I persevere through this time because you make no mistakes and you don't have to explain it to me. I'm going to trust you right now. We wait, we persevere, we risk trusting Him, not knowing how it's going to come out. I'm telling you how you go through it when you can't figure it out. Second, we face the test head on our knees. 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should. Ever been there? 100 times we've been there. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. What does that mean? I don't know. Had a woman tell me after the church, her first church service, well, it may mean tongues. Where in the world does that come from? Out of groanings too deep for words. He isn't even talking about tongues. That's not about tongues. Don't jump to those kind of conclusions. The Spirit interprets, I guess it means the Spirit interprets our groanings that are too deep for words. And He takes the groans, the ugh, ah, alas, the alas from Jeremiah's lips. Lord God, what is this about? And we groan through times like this. The Spirit intercedes as we groan on our knees. I don't know why I lost my job when I did, of all times. I don't know why I'm left to raise these 4 children on my own without the help of a mate. I don't know why, Lord, I groan before You and the Spirit intercedes for us with those terms that are too deep for words. Look at verse 27. It's wonderful. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that great? My groan gets interpreted according to the will of God. So when I face the test head on my knees, that takes humility. The first takes faith. This takes humility. I'm willing to surrender. Surrender my child. I'm willing to surrender my child. I'll weep as long as my grief lasts. I can't stand the thought of losing one or a grandchild. I will do that, Lord. I will do that as I wait for You in this. I'm helpless to change it. I'm doing all I can to get the medical help we need. If that doesn't work, I'm cast on You. And if death comes, Lord, it's part of Your plan. Okay, we're getting very, very serious right now. And it works against our human nature to release anything. We clutch. Remember? But here we humbly release as we face this test head on. We're going to learn in the process what He's doing. Look at verse 28. Now we rest in our sovereign God and his plan. Verse 28. I tell myself sometimes out loud, this is for my good and for God's glory, even though I can't explain it. I was driving in my car several weeks ago when our grandson was so sick. And I remember driving home, having visited the hospital, and he was laying there on that little tiny crib, or that looked like a huge crib, but that little tiny precious body, kind of a gray color. And I said to Cynthia, I think we're going to lose him. I could hardly get the words out of my mouth. And I remember just saying, without even closing my eyes, I said, Lord, I rest in you. You know what's best. You know the reason for this. You know we want that little boy. But he's yours. He was yours before he was ever ours. We rest in our sovereign God. We know that God causes all things. Look at all things. That's included in it. Your situation. Now, if you think theologically, you won't put a border around all things. You'll let it be all things. Your loss, your gain, your prosperity, your bankruptcy, the accident, the fall, the disease, the losses, whatever. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we rest in our sovereign God. We rest in his plan, which is full of surprises. And fourth, we remember we're being conformed to the image of Christ. We're not getting our own way. God's will is all about God and not about us. We remember we're being conformed to the image of Christ. 29, whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. This kind of thinking takes faith, it takes humility, it takes flexibility, and it takes sensitivity. Do I need to give that again? It takes faith, it takes humility, it takes flexibility, it takes sensitivity. Stubborn wills will never get this. Your will's got to be crushed. Got to be broken, shaped, twisted, changed, so that you wind up saying, it's your plan that's important, Lord, not my wish. I didn't bring myself into this earth, and I can't take myself into heaven. What's wrong with that? That's great theology. I suggest that you make it a goal for your life to learn to think theologically. You'll have a lot less struggles, a lot less arguments, at least with others. You'll still have arguments with God, and that's okay. Great thing about arguing with God, he never tells anybody. Isn't that great? He doesn't talk about you behind your back. He can handle it. I have a dear friend who's now passed into glory, but he was a classmate of mine at Dallas Seminary. He and his wife had this wonderful little boy, firstborn. And after they finished the seminary, they moved to Southern California, where he was going to work on his doctorate, and he earned his doctorate, USC. While there, they had another child and yet another. Two girls followed the little boy, and one day this little boy stumbled into a neighbor's pool and drowned. They lost that little boy, the adorable little boy. And my friend told me that his grief knew no bounds. This fine man of God said he got into his car and he drove the freeways of Los Angeles into the early morning hours, just screaming out to God about his loss of his boy and all of the dreams and hopes and wishes and desires he had for that little boy. Gone! Said, I pulled back almost at dawn into my driveway and stopped. And the things I had said, he said, I would never repeat to another soul. But it dawned on me when I got back home, God could handle all of this. He could hear me, and he could understand where it's coming from. Isn't that great? Thinking theologically. We've had enough humanism, okay? We've had enough human logic for five more centuries. Let's just stop it. Let's practice words like, I don't know. I will trust. I can't explain. I release whatever. Because the star of the show is God. He is the beginning. He will be the ending. And in between, by His grace, He lets us kind of flit on the screen like a little gnat. That's enough of you. And it's not like that, you know. But the point is, he's maneuvering a plan that's perfect. It'll be for His glory and for our good. All of our losses and heartaches, joys, sorrows, notwithstanding. Thinking theologically. If you counsel, counsel people theologically. If you advise, advise them theologically. If you're going through a trial, go through it theologically, okay? Theologically, biblically. This book, this is it. This is the stuff. This is it. Not the Quran. This book. Not some mystic religion. This book. It'll get you through. You can do it. Let's bow together. I realize that you may have never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and some of this may sound pretty goofy because you don't know Christ. You've maybe encountered religion and been told to give up this or stop doing that, and you'll be better in God's eyes. If you're lost, you're as bad off as you can possibly be. And until Christ comes into your life, you'll never be any closer than bad off. It's called sin, and your sin separates you from your God, and your unbelief holds you at a distance. Christ died that you can live. He paid a price you couldn't pay so that you could know heaven that you could never earn, never deserve. Just trust Him today. Come to the cross. Trust the Lord Jesus. Trust Him. Give Him your life. Don't hold anything back. Lord, we come at this a little sideways because we're only human. And we're trying to uncover something that's mysterious and designed to be profound and deeper than our understanding. But maybe we've gotten just a corner of it, just a glimpse of it enough to find help in this journey from earth to heaven. And so I pray that as a result of what we have heard regarding faith and flexibility and sensitivity and all these areas that require such a trust in You, that it might help us, genuinely help us in this journey. I pray for those especially troubled today with unanswered questions, that they may be able to find a sense of peace and a corner of calm, having heard what they've heard from Your word today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen.
Concluding a teaching series that started several weeks ago, you're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. This is Insight for Living, and Chuck titled his study, The Mystery of God's Will. Well, this is the very last day we'll mention the Bible study resources that complement this 11-part series, so now's the time to reach out to request these tools. They're all designed to help you become, as Chuck said, an incarnational Christian. First, you might like to own all 11 sermons in the teaching series. They're available right now on audio CD. To purchase the complete collection, call 800-772-8888. Or if you prefer listening on your mobile device, you can easily download the Insight mobile app, where you can access all of Chuck's sermons. As a complement to these sermons, you can also purchase our spiral-bound Bible study workbook for this study on the mystery of God's will. It's part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. And then finally, Chuck's written a highly requested book called What If God Has Other Plans, where he describes how to respond when God's plan includes unwanted surprises. It's a wonderful guide on how to respond when things don't go our way, including the assurance that God is always in control, even when you lose a loved one or when someone close to you betrays your confidence or trust. The title again is What If God Has Other Plans? And when you step forward as a new monthly companion here at Insight for Living, it's our gift to you. As a monthly companion, you set the size of your monthly automated gift. By doing this, you're providing strength and stability to this nonprofit ministry, ensuring that Chuck's teaching continues to minister around the world without interruption. Again, the book is titled What If God Has Other Plans? Here's the number to call, 800-772-8888. You can also sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Bill Meyer, urging you to join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll kicks off our next series, Strengthening Your Grip, right here on Insight for Living. The preceding message, A Better Way to Look at God's Will, was copyrighted in 1999, 2000, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.